You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be spending some time in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bible, you can flip to Proverbs chapter 1. Last week we did the prologue, the beginning of Proverbs, which was verses 1 through 7, and basically it set up the direction of the book. The book of Proverbs is unlike most books in the Bible. You know, if you were to sit down and read the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. It's one thing written by one person in one kind of sitting as he sat down and wrote the letter. The book of Proverbs is different. It's a collection, an anthology of wisdom that God has preserved for us so that we can apply it to our lives. And the book of Proverbs says that if you'll study these Proverbs, if you'll invest yourself into learning what this proverb, the book of Proverbs is trying to communicate, you will be made more wise. You'll have more discretion, more wisdom, more understanding in your life. And then it ends with kind of the beginning of understanding how to know knowledge, which is to know that there is a God who is over all things, and you should live in a holy reverence, a fear of him, because he is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. And so the beginning point of the book of Proverbs knowledge is not human wisdom, it's recognizing that God is all wise, and he knows more than we do. If you approach everything in your life thinking that you know the most, you will miss a lot of what God is trying to communicate to you throughout your life. The book of Proverbs is God's wisdom to man. All right, well, let's dive in to Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It reads, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head, and pendants for your neck." The book of Proverbs in this section begins with an encouragement for this child. The book of Proverbs is written kind of from a parent-child relationship at different times. And say, look, you're young. There's things that you don't know. Listen to what your mother and your father have taught you. Listen to the truth from the generations that go before you. You know, we come into this world knowing absolutely nothing, but because of the way in which God organized our society to be, you're given into the hands of a mother and a father who know a lot more than you do. If you're a teenager here today, you may question whether or not your parents know more than you do. They do, right? You may think, well, they don't understand this or that or whatever Zoomer language we're using right now. They don't understand why we do this all the time, as if this is a thing that we should do nonstop. And they don't, because it's ridiculous. But they do understand a lot more about the world. And so consistently throughout the book of Proverbs, there's a theme of children. If you'll just listen to the wisdom of your parents, they will spare you all sorts of heartaches. All sorts of heartaches will be spared. And it takes a humble person to look up and say, I don't know everything that I should know. You're further down the road than I am, so I'm going to listen to you. And so the first thing is, like, as people, there's a tradition of wisdom that has been passed on to us. And it's kind of this old path that we know. It's the way in which you were raised to know good from bad and right from wrong. And this old, well-run path that was run by your parents, maybe they ran wayward at times, but they knew the path. It was ran by your grandparents. It's been run. That path of wisdom has been run for generations. And the encouragement that the father has is to stick to that path. As a young person, we need to keep to those old roads. There's always new roads that come up, new knowledge that comes up. Oh, look over here, shiny object. Look over here, new thing. But there is a wisdom in staying on the old roads. The song that I love, it's written from the perspective of a father to a son. And the refrain of it is this: keep to the old roads. And the idea is that the son is going to go off. He's going to make his way in the world. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to find himself in a mess. He's not going to know how to get back. And the encouragement is to keep to the old roads. The old roads for us is God's word, right? This ancient book that we have that's been passed on for generations upon generations. The wisdom of God that's been given to us, that we were created to be in right relation with him, that we destroyed that right relationship through our sin, but God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. That is the good old story, right? I love to tell the story. And there's this idea of these old roads, and you may get lost, but if you can find your way back to that old path, right, there's wisdom there. The parents are begging their children, listen to your father's instruction, hear it. Don't just like know the words, but obey the words. Don't forsake your mother's teaching, because it is a blessing to you. It's a garland for your head. It's a pendant for your neck. The wisdom of the ages is a blessing to you. And there's all sorts of people who think they know better today. And you can come back and you say, well, God's word says, and they say, yeah, but, and then they start making all sorts of arguments against God's word. Guys, we don't have a better source of knowledge than the word of God. Keep to the old roads. You will wander. As you grow, as you become an adult, you teenagers out there, you will get lost at times. But you will stumble back across a well-worn path that you will see. And if you'll take that path back, it will guide you back home. All right, I've got grown kids now and young kids now. That's my whole life story in a nutshell. And my prayer for my old kids is as they leave my authority and as they go out into the world to make their own name, that they stick to the roads that God has laid out before them. Not because Dad knows everything, but because there's a God who has shown them the best way to live and can take them to where they need to be. And so there's an encouragement. If you'll stick to these things, good things will come. So what are the bad things, the voices that are trying to lead us on other paths? Well, there's a lot of them. The one today deals with how we make our living. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. The warning, the very first warning that the father gives to his child, says, listen to us, because there are people out there who will get in your ear and tell you there's a better way to make it in this world. You can be wealthy today. And with wealth comes power and prestige and everything in there. And the way to this wealth, the get-rich-quick scheme that's been going on since the beginning of mankind, is to lay in wait for somebody who has what you want, to kill them, and to take the thing that you want from them. And so there's this idea of these gangs that are going off and recruiting young people. And this is very similar to what happens today, by the way. Gangs go off, recruit young people, and say, look, we are going to protect you, and you're going to get all the money you ever could need. You're going to be able to lay out the dollar bills all across your bed, take the picture for Instagram. Everyone's going to be amazed at how much money you have. And the story sounds very, very appealing to the young person who doesn't understand. All I got to do is walk in and ask that person to give me the money in the register? That's all I have to do? Take the gun, walk in, ask for the money, they give me the money, I leave? All I have to do is go into Walmart and put these things in my pocket and walk out? It doesn't hurt anybody, it just hurts Walmart, and Walmart makes more money than I do, so like, there's nothing wrong with that. And the voices around us say, there's a better way. Right, the old traditional way is you go to work, you ply a trade, you develop a skill, you sell your labor or the goods of your labor so that you can provide for those that you're responsible for. But the wicked say there's a better way. And this voice that there's a better way is the same voice that was in the garden when Eve was walking in the cool of the garden and looking at the variety of trees, and the serpent walks up to her and says, "Hey, Eve, you're not allowed to eat any of this food?" And she said, "No, we can eat the food. We just can't eat that one food right there. If we touch it, we're going to die." And Satan, the crafty old liar, begins the lie and says, "No, God's holding out on you. There's a better way, a quicker way, a more full life awaits you. Just step off the path with me." And the voice of Satan enticed our ancient mother. And that same voice has enticed countless of us to chase after a different way. Guys, we need to beware of the lure of easy money. You turn on the TV, everyone has some way for you to make money. Some get-rich-quick scheme. You get on your social media, and some friend of yours that you knew from years gone by is trying to recruit you into their multi-level marketing scheme. If you're involved in a multi-level marketing scheme today, God bless you as you try to find your way out of it. Guys, it doesn't work. And so there's this lure of easy money. They say, "Hey, have you heard about this new cryptocurrency?" And you're like, "I don't know anything about it." You're like, "Oh, if you put your money in there, I mean, it's gone up, you know, 500,000 times in the last 6 minutes. That sounds like a pretty good deal, right? I put my $5 in, get $2.5 million out in a minute. Yeah, that's great. Let's do it." It doesn't work that way. And countless people hear the lure, the siren call of easy money, and it says, "Come this way. Walk this path. It's easier over here." And we forsake the wisdom of our parents. We forsake the wisdom of all human ages. And we say, "Maybe I'm different." And maybe you are different, by the way. You're unique, and God made you special, and that's all very, very true. Your mother didn't lie to you about those things. But you're not different from the consequences of chasing after easy money. See, the easy money people in the book of Proverbs are "let's just beat someone up, take their stuff." That's still going on today. You go into Nigeria right now, there's whole Christian communities being annihilated in Nigeria on a regular basis. Roving bandits will ride in on motorcycles with guns, and it will kill the Christians there. And it is martyrdom for these Christians, but it's not specifically like that they're being killed because they're Christians. It's being killed because they have something and they're approved to be killed. The government doesn't really care if you kill the Christians, and so they can ride in, they can steal everything from them, and now all of your sheep and goat and stuff is my sheep's and goats and stuff. And if I kill you, that's fine, and if you're just displaced to wander off in the middle of Nigeria to try to find another community, that's fine too. And these roving gangs are still on the prowl today. There's a lure of easy money, because making money is hard work. By the way, it's supposed to be hard work, just so you're aware, right? When Adam chose to eat the fruit, the curse that Adam was put underneath was the curse that the ground was no longer going to give you the fruit easily. Thorns were going to grow. You were going to have to work for your living. And we live underneath that curse today. Until God comes back and Jesus returns to make all things new again, we will live underneath that curse. And to short circuit and to bypass it, to not take part in it, it seems very, very appealing. Right? So appealing. You don't have to work that hard. Some of your parents worked harder than I can ever imagine. It was harder to make money back in the day. You know, they're digging ditches with shovels, and we've got backhoes. Like, it was just labor intensive. They're harvesting their fields with their backs, not the GPS tractor that you punctured in. You just sit back in the air conditioning and ride around. Like, it's hard. It's always been hard. And when someone says you can make it a better way, an easier way, all you have to do is defraud someone else. All you have to do is take something that belongs to someone else. All you have to do is take a few shortcuts down the path. And if you're in the corporate world, you've probably seen some people take some shortcuts down the path. And for a while, it seems like they're really getting away with everything. But typically, at some point, bad deeds catch up with us. We need to beware the lure of easy money. The father, after giving him the warning against the lure of this common purse, this joining this gang that seeks to destroy for their own wealth, says this in verse 15. He says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." And what he says is that the same things that these people do, like the path that they take, the path of violence, the path of taking advantage of people to get ahead, it comes back on their own head. There's this natural whip around that occurs back on people. I was doing some research on gangs in America, and I'll tell you, of like things that you should not get involved in as a young person, gang membership would be high on the list of things you should avoid. You want to shorten your life? Join a gang. Right? People just die. You get 20-year-olds die in the streets. And we hear these as statistics because we're in this little small town, my own county, and we turn on the news and we see what's happening in Chicago and we see all these people were shot dead in the streets. And we're like, oh, that really stinks for them. Stupid Chicago people, they don't know what's up. My daughter-in-law's from the Chicago area. Made it out, though. Glad you made it out, Jenna. But you hear about it on the news, and it's just statistics. It's, oh, 22 people were shot and killed. Gang-related violence. So those 22 young souls, almost always young souls, by the way, cast their lot in for the lies of a common purse, for the lies of getting ahead, the lies of being protected and having a family. And they cast their lot in with the wrong group of people. And their life is snuffed out in a moment. The things that they thought they were getting by way of violence, they lost by the way of violence. Guys, evil ways, those evil paths, they're a path of self-destruction. They're self-destructive paths. You think that it's helping you. You think it's benefiting you, but it hurts you all along the way. This is true of almost anything in your life. When you partake of wickedness and it feels good, it tastes good, it seems good, right? It's the cotton candy of sin. Sin looks good, pleasant to the eye. You put it in your mouth. It's pleasant to the taste, but in an instant, it's gone. And so you go in for more, and you go in for more, and it's always gone. And after you've eaten, you know, two or three tubs of it, and there's nothing left there, all you're left with is a sick stomach, and the consequences of eating, you know, I don't know, 200 grams of sugar. Right? Like it's a bad feeling. It's self-destructive. You're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself. I think about the illegal drug usage in our community. Guys, I was at my Sunday school class, I was mentioning today, and I was like, I'm opposed to meth. I needed to say that due to some other things that I'd said just before that, but I'm clearly opposed to methamphetamines. I believe that it is the destruction of this part of our little world, our little happy utopia that we live in my own county. It's killing individuals, families, and hope. Right? I'm an adoptive father. I have four adopted children. All four of them, methamphetamines is in their story. These kids are being raised. I'm so grateful that I get to be the dad to these kids. Like, it's a blessing to me. But the only reason that had to happen, it was because somewhere along the way, someone said, hey, try this. It'll make you feel a little bit better. And they tried it, and it must be tremendous. Like, I have no doubt that it must be tremendous, because you will alienate your family. You will steal from your mother. You will steal from your children. You will abandon your kids to get it. But see, when you start, it feels like life itself. And you get on that path, you think this path is a fine path, and it's actually a great path because I've never felt such bliss in my life. But it destroys lives. Evil paths are like that. They're self-destructive. Guys, the book of Proverbs is going to warn us about a lot of different paths that you need to stay off of. But the general sense of it is when you jump on those paths, like what you receive at the end of it is consequences on you that you never, ever wanted to see. And I hate to see people jump onto those paths. We have the old road pointing them towards a better life, towards a God that loves them, towards a God who would send his son to die for them, that gives them value and worth in their life, and they trade it for a quick dollar, a temporary high, relationship with some lady they never should have been in bed with. And they trade all of those things that God intends for them for momentary, fleeting pleasure that will destroy them at the end. And day by day, they build a cage around themselves, locking them out of the joys that God intends them to have as they live underneath the consequences, the natural consequences of pursuing after those things. In this proverb, it's chasing after money by unjust gains. It's taking what someone else has for themselves. This idea of greed and taking and maximizing what you can have. You know, we live in an economy that's not, it's not fully like zero sum. If I have a dollar, it doesn't mean that you lose a dollar, right? Because we print money. That's kind of our whole basis for our economy right now. But there are times when me getting a dollar means you're not going to be able to get a dollar. And we need to recognize that there may be times when we participate in unjust gains as well. We need to evaluate how it is that we're making our ends meet. Are we behaving in a way that honors the Lord? Are we making money in a way that honors the Lord? Are we actively impoverishing other people? If you open up a payday loan shop that's predatory, like specifically designed to prey on people, which is all over America right now, you got to be aware that that's a dangerous business model. It's not helpful. It's not to say it's not short-term loans that can be helpful to people. People need short-term loans sometimes. I've needed short-term loans at times when something breaks and I'm like, oh my goodness. But when it's 200% interest, signing your life away on the back end, and you never pay it off, when you're selling a car to someone at 35% interest, at a payment they can't afford so you can repossess the car and sell it again in 5 minutes, that's predatory. And it may be good for your bank balance, but it's harming other people. And you're becoming enriched at someone else's impoverished. That's terrible English. We need to be aware of that thing because we need to know that those things will eventually become self-destructive. It will destroy who you are meant to be in Christ. And so what's the general sense that I have from this passage? I go back to Jesus, who is the all-wise God, right, incarnate. Jesus gives us wisdom. And Jesus says, look, what you do, right, will come back upon you. When he's telling his disciples and they're going to grab a sword to take up to fight against the Romans there, he says, look, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Right, it's true. If you choose to live by violence and anger and rage, that will be the end of your life as well. But there is a better path than living by the sword and dying by the sword. And it's living by the Spirit. To honor the one true God. It's to stick to those old roads that your parents told you about. Maybe you got parents who didn't tell you about those old roads, but somehow you stumbled upon a book that showed you the path. Guys, this is the path, right? Thy words are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as you read God's word from the beginning to the end, by the way, if you haven't started your Bible reading for this year, it's the 10th, 11th of January, you're only 11 days behind. You got a long ways to catch up. You're great. Just start today. Say, preacher, I can't read the whole Bible in a year. That's fine. You can read a verse today though, right? So dust it off. Let God's words be a light to your path so that you don't follow the path that lives by the sword and dies by the sword. Follow the path that leads to life. And guys, the other thing that we need to do is we need to drag people towards that path. We need to warn those around us. If you're a parent today, you have the opportunity, the obligation to warn your children against the dangers that are on the path that they're going to walk down. Because they're going to walk down the path and someone's going to reach over to them and say, hey, have you thought about doing this? And they're going to say, well, my dad said I shouldn't do that. And they're going to say, why does your dad not love you? Why would he keep this awesome thing from you? The voice of Satan coming from their own mouths. And if your kids don't have if they're not equipped with wisdom, the call to easy money, the call to quick fixes, the call to no longer hurting can be so enticing. And people will find your children left alone and abandoned. And if you don't give them wisdom, you're setting them up for destruction. Give them wisdom. Teach them the word. Point them in the right direction. Because I'm tired of living in a society that lives by the sword and dies by the sword. I'm tired of living in a society that suffers the consequences of wickedness every single day. As a church, we need to seek righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these other things that we worry about will be added to us day by day. Walk in faith today on the path that God has laid before you. And if you're off a little bit right now, if you're struggling, if you've been chasing after the get rich quick scheme, that was easy. Been chasing after the next scheme. You've been chasing after the next high. You've been chasing after the next girl or guy. Come back to the old road. The story of the prodigal son is so powerful, right? Child goes off, wastes everything that he ever had. His dad taught him right. Dad taught him better. Wastes everything he had. Spent all of his dad's money living like a wild man. And the Bible says he came to his senses as he's sitting among the pigs, watching the pigs eat, envying their dinner. And he says, I have a dad who can take me back, and then maybe I might be a servant to him. I could never be his son again. But see, the son didn't understand the love that the father had for him. And as the son turned his head back towards the father, began to walk, while he was still a long way off, the father, who it appears from the parable at least, is scanning the horizon, waiting for his son to return, sees his son, runs up to his son, covers his son in his robe, gives his son his family ring, puts new shoes on his feet, and throws a feast in his honor. Because the father has great love for his children. And maybe you're far off the path right now. And today's the day where you're looking around and you think, hey, I need to come back to my senses. I want you to know you're not too far gone for God. It is never too late to start over. While there is breath in your lungs, you can return. And God is eager and abounding in love to let you return. Come back to him today. God loves you. Let me pray.